However, you were going to read as much as the Lord would lead tonight in the book of Romans in the 8th chapter. And I pray that this just be what I'll call a reminder message into your spirit. Because I know this is something that if we know God, that we know this. But if you do not know, I pray that it just come into your life for the first time. And that this becomes something that you know. And that it be sweet into your heart. In the book of Romans in the 8th chapter in the 1st verse. And it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Hallelujah. But the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in what? But in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Hear this tonight, church. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. Hallelujah. I read this tonight and I go back to the beginning of this. And what words of wisdom to know and to remind ourselves that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There is nothing in this world to condemn. Nothing. I don't know why we get off on the wrong foot on so much in our life. Get caught off guard on so many things when there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. When we get the blood of Christ applied in our life, when we begin to believe on Him as our risen Savior, when we get Him first and foremost in our life and get off on the right step with Him as number one, there is no condemnation in our life. Hallelujah. And there is nothing that you could battle with. There is nothing that could win in your heart that Jesus would not prevail in. There is no form of sin that you could have that Christ would not prevail in. There could be a form of drugs in your life, but if you had Christ in there, you would have to be free, because His power and dominion is greater than anything that you could have in your life. Can I get an amen on that? There is no form of condemnation. Oh, the drugs and alcohol that I suffered in. I remember where I was a few years ago. It's not been that long. I know you know me. I know you remember where I was, and I know that you hear me stand today, and I know that you hear me preach today. I want you to remember where I stood. I want you to look back and know that there is no condemnation when we live through Christ Jesus, that I'm just a normal guy, that I'm just somebody that lays down at the end of the day, that suffers like you do, that goes through life just like you do, that I have emotions, that I hurt and that I break, but still inside of me, I still trust the almighty blood of Jesus Christ that's been applied in my life. I'm still clinging to His blood. So there is therefore nothing that can lay hold in my life. There is no power of sickness that's going to lay hold. I live because He lives in me. There is nothing that I could bring to God in myself that is going to please Him. Nothing in my flesh is going to please God. Because everything that I ever had was of sin. You see, He brought Christ into the world so that we could be free from sin. So nothing that I'm going to bring is ever going to be pure. No ideal that I could ever form about living is ever going to work. I could try to say that I live great. I could try to say that the way that I live is clean, and that I talk clean, and that I don't look at anything unclean, and that I don't listen to anything unclean. But if I still do not believe in Jesus Christ, my life is still not as pure as God had intended it to be. When I have the blood of Christ applied to my life, then there is no condemnation that can come over me. I then have the blood applied upon me. My life is therefore covered, and therefore I have the inheritance of eternal life. I then have a power by belief that I did not have before that. I therefore am empowered by the power of the Spirit. I then begin to live in a way that I never could have lived. Let me tell you, my life has changed over the past few years. I begin to adapt new things that I never would have before. I begin to listen into a new part of me that I never would have listened to before. I'm telling you, I never really knew about the spirit part of me. But when I begin to believe in Jesus Christ, it's not something that just came alive. It's just something I begin to recognize. How many of us know that tonight? It's just something that I begin to recognize. The light came into my life, and when the light came to it, I saw that there was somebody there. I saw that there was something that was there to help me, there to lift me up, there to bring life unto me. There was somebody there encouraging me, a spiritual part of me that said, "You do not have to live bound up by drugs, Jared. You don't have to live bound up by alcohol. You don't have to look around at everything in this world and see that it has any kind of savor, but you can lay it all down and live your life the way that you want to. You can be sober in the day that we live in. You don't have to have any form of substance to have to live." And I'm so glad I'm covered by that, for what the law could not do, for what our ideals could not do, for what we have in traditions could not do, for what we set aside in time and what we wear and what we think it should be in religion and all of that, and our own doctrines will not do. It's the blood of Christ that's in your life that's going to set you alive. Hallelujah. There's so many different ways and ideals that people form this up to be. But listen, if you have a central belief in Jesus Christ, and you base that on your foundation, there is no other way that you could live but by that. There's so many ways that we try to go up and live life with our own ideals. And I know when I say that a lot of us might think, I don't really do that. But when we go about life and we don't pray like we should, and we don't obey God like we should, we're presenting our own ideals before God and saying, "God, this is how I think that my religious and Christian life should be. I'm presenting to you the way I think that I should live my life before you. This is my ideal of how I present the way it should be. God, this is how much I think I should pray. Come on, church. This is how long I think that I should pray. Or this is how often I think I should read the Word of God. This is how often I think I should dedicate my time before you." But there's a spiritual part of us that's going to come along. It's going to remind us there is life and living for you. And when it calls, it doesn't sometimes give us a time limit on how long we're going to have, and we're not going to be able to cut it off instantly. And sometimes we're going to have to get in and dig and search and seek and give up other things in life. But let me tell you, when you come through on the other side of some of these, you know there's only certain outcomes that you can have. You might be bound up when you start, but you'll be delivered by the end of it. You might be all tied up in webs in your mind, but when you come through, you'll be of sound mind, and you'll be at peace. When you begin to follow the Spirit of God, you'll live in a life where you'll have freedom. You won't feel bound up outside in this world. You'll feel covered. My peace all about you. It'll be like a garment that you're wearing. Hallelujah. I feel the power of God. I know there's so many times that we feel like that we don't have enough to live, don't have enough to be able to take that first step. But there's a part of you that's calling. even tonight that's saying, come on, that's saying, come on, take that first step tonight, that's saying, come on, praise me tonight, that's saying, come on, I'm looking for you, that's saying, come on, I'm calling for you, I'm looking for your praises, I'm looking for your calling, I'm looking for the crying out of my people. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All the times that they set up all of the idols in those days, you read about those. They called out to those things continually. There was always times where somebody was continually before the presence of those statues or idols or golden, I don't know, formations of such. And yet we find it hard to be able to get before the presence of God. We find it hard to be able to do that pressing in. And it's hard because we literally will not please God in our flesh. We cannot do it. We cannot do it. I cannot come in here in my own self without breaking down my flesh through prayer, through the things that God has given me to do that. There are only certain things that I can do to break down this flesh. It's not being angry at my brother. It's not being angry and having my own ideals. It's not coming in and being stubborn. It's not being rebellious against what God's trying to tell me to do. There's some things that God gave us to be able to apply in our life. And it was the ability to worship and adore Him. It was all the things that's laid out in the Word of God. And as we come in here to agree together, I remember a time when I look back and I think, God, worship is being sucked out of our churches. And my heart is broken. Because it's not about the act of, it's about the substance in your heart. When you go to somebody's house, even for Christmas, just stay with me for a minute. You go to somebody's house for Christmas and you used to be able to enjoy each other's company years ago. You used to be able to hug one another and enjoy each other and be able to have conversations a lot easier. It used to be able to be easy just to sit down and say, how is everything going with your family? But now we find it so much harder just to be able to ask each other how we are. I want to identify to you and for you tonight that the more that we go on and the more that we do not channel in the love of God in our hearts, that it becomes harder to be able to fellowship with one another, to be able to come together with one another. And that the only way that we stir up that gift in our life is when we're not even around each other, that we work on that in our own personal life, that we say, God, show me how to be able to have more love in my life. Lord, show me how to have more love for my brethren. Jesus Christ walked in love. And that very gift, oh, that sacrifice that was made so there was no more condemnation for sin, was given in love. It was given in love. It was a gift of love for us. And I thank God, if we walk in this life, what is the one virtue that we need to have more than anything? And I'm thinking, Lord, it's got to be love. It's got to be that ability to be able to get around one another and get right in there and say, brother, how are you? How are you doing? Help me to be able to get in there with no matter who it is and say, how are you? How can I help you? What can I do? Don't let us get sucked into this world, get sucked into sin, get back out in the world of condemnation where we know that we're covered by something far greater. I feel this going out tonight. I feel it going out, Almighty God. I thank you for it. Although I'm telling you, I'm reading this and I think, God, where are we? For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of what? The flesh. We mind it. And our bodies do what? What our minds will instruct them to. We're servants unto that. It's hard to stay focused on where we want to be with God. Because it's easy to say in my heart, Lord, I want to be where you want me to be. But we read in the Word of God about a people that would say, that their lips say, but their heart is far from it. When your heart is far from something, your love is not there. And I know that when we get around our loved ones for the holidays, that it's hard to sometimes be able to just to be completely comfortable with everybody, especially since you've not seen them. I know that. But if you really work on it and you really pray for a love that God can give you, listen, it is possible to overcome every awkwardness, every anxiety, everything that would ever try to hinder you from being able to overcome the silence. Hear this tonight. When you step into church services, and God's worked on me on this. If you wondered, if I just came in one day and just decided to have a boldness, it didn't just hit me all of a sudden. I asked God to help me with this. You begin one day to realize that you've got to have love for one another. You got to realize you've got to be able to help one another. And you say, Lord, what is it? What can I do to help? God, what is it that I can do in my heart to help? And he just wanted me to recognize the covering that he's already given inside of my heart. And when I look deep down inside of what he supplied, I realize how free I am inside. And it makes me want to leap as high as I can leap. It makes me want to shout until I can shout no longer. It makes me want to run until my feet would callous. It makes me want to shout. Do you hear me tonight? Is somebody here preaching with me tonight? Am I all alone? It gets me so stirred up to think about how good that God is that I cannot help myself. It makes me want to serve him. It gets me alive. I cannot. It burns, as Jeremiah said, like a fire set up in my bones. It gets me concerned about my brethren. It gets me past all the awkwardness. It gets me past every anxiety, and it makes me say, what can I do to help you? It makes me say that I love you. It makes me reach out and say, I need you. Oh, I need your help. It makes me step out and say, oh, God is there. He's there to help. He's there as your refuge. Oh, somebody needs us tonight. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. It's a wonderful chapter. I would encourage you to read chapter 8 tonight. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken. Quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit, by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. It shall what? Quicken. That same Spirit that raised the dead, that same thing that opened the eyes of the blind. Same thing that even in the times before that, that would cure leprosy, shall quicken you and give you life, give you love, give you knowledge, give you understanding, give you boldness, give you zeal, give you what you need to get past everything else that you're going through. And the only thing that I have to say when I hear all that and consider all of that is, what in the world are we waiting on? What in the world are we waiting for? When we consider the covering of Christ, when we consider everything that he's done, the only thing that I can figure is that we've not warred enough with our flesh, and that we still feel like that the pleasures of ourself are greater than the spirit person of our life. That is what I've concluded. When we realize that that spirit life is greater, you'll come running. You'll be desperate. Because take it from me, from having a few near-death experiences. I don't talk about those things because I don't give glory to it. But when you have a few near-death experiences from pleasures of life and going out there and living in the world and literally feeling your last heartbeat coming along the way from drugs, you'll realize pleasures of life only last a little while. And it's only a matter of time before you've got to make up your mind and decide when it's time to serve God. Because he comes by to each and every man and woman appointed into this world and calls to you. And it comes a time when you have to decide that I am going to wholeheartedly serve you. I'm going to wholeheartedly believe that God, you sent Jesus to die for me and to be my Savior. And that's not a hard decision to make them when you wholeheartedly surrender. I feel this tonight. When you wholeheartedly surrender your life and surrender all the things that's hindering you. And let me tell you, I had a whole list of them. I could have made a checklist. If I had the time, it would have made a book. But when I brought them all to God and I believed and trusted Him, I was delivered. I didn't have to debate. I was delivered. He changed me. I was cleansed. I was healed. It was a physical and mental and spiritual healing. I was delivered. And that's all that I needed to know. I didn't even know anything about the Word of God. All that I knew was somebody told me to surrender it all. And I said, God, take it. I don't want it anymore. 7-8 years of hard drug use. I don't want this no more. I don't want this no more. I'm tired of the chase. Tired of living this way. There's so many people on the chase right now. They're chasing death. There is no end but death. Wasted all their money. Throwing their body away. There is no end but death. Drinking their life away. Killing their liver. There is no end but death. And my heart cries out because I know how hard it is just to lay down. But if you trust God and wholeheartedly surrender your heart, that spirit life that lives in you will rise up and say, live. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Get a hold of this tonight. There's going to be a part of you when you surrender that's going to say live, and you can live. There's going to be a part when you're desperate and you call out on God in your midnight hour. If you believe, you'll rise up and live in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? The sons of God. Hallelujah. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. How many of us know we're saved? Oh, hallelujah. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. There's something in you, and hallelujah, as we sing, I know that we encourage you to worship, but I know that there should be something burning in your heart that should let you know, uh-oh. I'm going to ruffle some feathers and then I might have to run away. But there should be something inside of you that when you hear the words stirring about of the songs of Christ and the songs of God and the songs and testimonies of your brothers and sisters, that should stir your heart, that should let you know that I am a child of God, and that should bring you to obedience. It should bring you to praises, and ultimately it should bring us to unity, to where we're able to draw those that are in need to this altar. Listen, I know that we're purposed to do many things, but I thought the purpose of a church is just to come together so that we could see souls saved. It's not no social gathering, but it's a soul drawing station. It's a place where we come together and get it done. Hallelujah. Just like when you try to come together at Christmas dinner when we don't have a love for each other. Don't reach out to one another enough. Not praying enough. Not stirring that love in our heart enough. I don't have to debate this with anybody. It's in the Word of God. In the last days, the love of many will begin to wax cold. You can even read in other references that some people have already set their minds to Satan. So you can read in other parts where people have already fixed upon darkness. And we think that we don't need to be on guard and waging spiritual warfare through the tools that God has given. And we don't need to be encouraging people to believe in something that will empower them to life. And we do not think that we need to be witnesses and bold warriors for our Lord and Savior. And I'm thinking, God, if we can't even enjoy ourselves in service, this is one of the saddest days that I've ever seen to live in. God, I remember a time when it was just a few old ladies be able to shout and bring down more of a presence of God than some of the most talented people that I've ever heard sing go to a concert. And it seems like that it sounds the best, and people pay thousands of dollars to hear it, and they can't even get in and have a legitimate presence of God. Lord, what a day that we live in where people and family that are blood related can come together and not be able to enjoy each other's company. And Lord, you show me, God, that the love in our hearts has begun to wax cold. And Lord, you show me that I got to begin to pray more so that I'm able to look past all the faults of each and every one that'll be around me, that I'll be able to love in spite of anything that I see, that I look past my own and be able to repent so that I'll be able to stand in for the truth. If I didn't have enough love in my heart, it'd be hard to ever be able to come together with anybody. So I'd be looking at your faults all the time. And I'd always be wondering when you were going to fall next, Mike. wondering when the next one was going to come around. Or wondered how long Jared was going to be able to stay on the mountain before he went down to the valley. What a lack of love of God in our hearts. What a lack of love of God in our hearts not to be able to enjoy one another. Doris, the only way that we can work on that is on a one-on-one basis with God. And I could do a great and grand altar call right now, and we could get the sweetest song that we could find in our songbook, and we've got thousands of songs up here. But I don't think that I could put it together good enough to be able to stir that in your heart, because this is something that you have got to work on every day. This is a message that has got to carry on every day of your life. The Spirit that brings life to you has got to live in you every day. The life that lives in you through the Spirit is going to bring the love of God that lives in you. It's going to be the love that helps you to forgive. Wah, wah, wah. We don't want to forgive nobody. We want to hold grudges. We want to be mad. It's one of our favorite things to do because it's what the flesh loves to do. It's one of the characteristics of darkness. Somebody's got to help me tonight. We all know it's true. It's a characteristic of darkness. We all enjoy being angry. Come on. When we get in our flesh, it's one of the things we like to do. I can't believe they did that. I can't believe they did that to us. Who do they think they are? What nerve they have? I'm never calling them again. I'm never going to help them. If they had a flat tire on the side of the road, I wouldn't stop to help them, even if I had 10 tires in the back and 2 jacks. It's fun to get mad, right? It's easy to get mad. It's twice as hard to channel the love of God in our heart if our flesh is stronger than the Spirit. Paul put it like this, in perspective, that he had to kill out his flesh daily because he was trying to remind us that that's something that you need to do on that time frame, that frequently. Prayer is one of the best things that you can do to stir that in your life. It's something that you can do all the time. It's not something you got to have a special service for. And it's not something that you have to look up anybody or call anybody for. You just have to get down and work in it and work at it and work for it and just call out on God and begin to believe. And listen, the more that you do it, the more experienced that you become, the more bold that you become. And I know the first times that you ever do it, you feel like that you're just throwing it up and it comes back down. But there's going to be days that you're finally going to have a breakthrough and you're going to feel the Spirit of God come alive in your heart, and you're going to feel for yourself that great power of peace and joy. I know that Satan has tried to snap out so many prayers that people have tried to pray, but you just keep praying. You just keep calling, because that is your life source. It is the way to which we live. I feel so great tonight about this. It is the only way that we live. He says, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the what? Bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. We all go through this together. We're in this together. So please, please, don't try to do it alone. Don't think that you're the only one that has hard times or is walking through a valley by yourself. You're not the only one that has hard mental struggles. Because, gosh, I have them all the time, but I'm learning to trust God. And we need to learn to be able to lean on each other for godly wisdom. We've got to learn to be able to trust in each other for godly love. That's why God has left us here on this earth. I believe that with all of our heart, that we're here to help each other, to exhort to one another, to be able to prophesy unto one another. So if you're going through a hard time, that's why we're here. That's why the church is here. That's why we're established, to be able to help you in your time of trouble, so that you can come on the times that we have appointed for you to be able to come and get help. Don't ever feel like that you're not able to get help, because that's what we're here for. And as we read in this other part in John chapter 17, it says, and Jesus was praying this. He said, and now I come, I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world. Even as I am not of the world, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. So what do? We're sanctified through the power of Christ. We are made free by the power of Christ. We are set free every day. Not just every now and then, not every so often, but every day. We are empowered every day. I get up with new life every day by the power of Christ. I'm able to have life and have joy, and I rebuke every part that's trying to just come against this right now. I'm able to get up and have everything that I need for each and every day for the power that lives inside of me, the power of Christ. Don't think that it's not there for you. You're just a prayer away from that. You just call out and believe it. It's just as simple as this right now. Just bow your head just for a moment. Lord, Heavenly Father, God, I thank you. I praise you. Lord, and I just call out for peace in my mind. For Lord, I am in trouble. And God, my mind is troubled. And I need a touch from you, Lord. And God, for everything that I'm going through, I ask God that you help me. For I believe, Lord, that you are with me. And I believe, God, that your peace is all about me. And I trust, God, that you are there, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, I pray this night, Lord, that you bless, God, each and every one that is here in this place. And Lord, I pray, God, that your spirit would manifest greater in the prayers of each and every one that's in this place. That your love, God, would grow greater. And that your spirit be fulfilled mightily, God, in their life. Then, Lord, we not be fearful or afraid, but, Lord, to be mindful of what you would lead us in. God, I thank you. See, as you pray that kind of prayer, it's not that hard to pray. You just begin to utter the words that's on your heart, and it just begins to flow in your life. It's easy. You just let it flow out of your mouth, and God will begin to fill you with peace. Did you feel that even as we were calling that out tonight? It's just so easy to do. Lord, I thank you for it, God. I thank you. I feel like that a couple of people got that tonight. Hallelujah. I praise you, Lord, for what we're feeling tonight. Hallelujah, Jesus. I praise you. I praise you, Lord. How many of us are glad that we're covered?